إن قارون كان من قوم موسى فبغى عليهم وآتيناه من الكنوز ما إن مفاتحه لتنوء بالعصبة أولي القوة إذ قال له قومه لا تفرح إن الله لا يحب الفرحين.
To be sure, Karun, Korah, was one of Moses' people. Then he transgressed against them. We had bestowed on him such treasure that their very keys would have been raised with difficulty by a whole group of strong people. Once when his people said to him, "Do not exult, for Allah does not love those who exult in their riches." To be sure,
this example is also given in response to the Meccan unbelievers' excuses. In fact, this subject is continuously addressed from verse 57 onwards. It is important to remember who opposed the Prophet, peace be upon him, expressing the concern that the interests of the nation were at stake. They were indeed the wealthy traders, the rich moneylenders, and the capitalists of Mecca. These were the ones who had made large fortunes through moneylending operations and their clever manipulation of international trade. These people were wholly convinced that the only worthwhile goal in life was to maximize their monetary earnings. They also believed that whatever obstructed that pursuit must be wrong and should be brushed aside. The common people, on the other hand, looked up to the rich as their role models. All that they wished for was to become like them. In this materialistic milieu, there was great appeal in the argument that if they accepted the Prophet's message, they would not only lose their wealth, but also their power and prestige. Further, not only their international trade would come to a halt, but their very existence be endangered.
Karun, Korah, was one of Moses' people. Then he transgressed against them.
Karun, the Korah of the Bible and the Talmud, was Moses' cousin. Peace be upon him. According to his lineage given in Exodus 2:18-21, his father and Moses' peace be upon him father were brothers. Elsewhere in the Quran, it is mentioned that in spite of his being an Israelite, Korah had allied himself with Pharaoh and had become one of his close and trusted courtiers. In fact, he was the one of the two most vocal opponents of Moses, peace be upon him, that is, after Pharaoh. "We sent Moses to Pharaoh and Haman and Korah with our signs and a clear authority, but they said, 'He is a magician and a big liar.'" Al-Mu'min 40:23-4. This clearly shows that Korah had deserted his own people, had become an agent of the enemy who wanted to destroy the Israelites. It was through his treacherous desertion of his own people that Korah had attained a very high position in Pharaoh's court. He was one of the two people to whom Moses, peace be upon him, was specifically sent besides Pharaoh, the other being Pharaoh's prime minister, Haman. The rest of Pharaoh's courtiers were not so important and are not mentioned individually in the Quran. Reference to Korah's extraordinary position is also made in Surah Al-Ankabut 29:39.
"We had bestowed on him such treasure that their very keys would have been raised with difficulty by a whole group of strong people."
Korah's story, as related in the Bible, Numbers 16, makes no mention of his wealth, but according to rabbinical traditions, he was very wealthy. No less than 300 mules were needed to carry the keys to his treasures. This is clearly hyperbolic, but it indicates that, even according to Israelite traditions, he was very rich.
وَابْتَغِ فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ.
"Seek by means of the wealth that Allah has granted you the abode of the hereafter, but forget not your share in this world. And do good as Allah has been good to you, and do not strive to create mischief in the land. For Allah loves not those who create mischief."
قال إنما أوتيته على علم عندي أَوَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَهْلَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنَ الْقُرُونِ مَنْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُ قُوَّةً وَأَكْثَرُ جَمْعًا وَلَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذُنُوبِهِمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ
He replied, All this has been given to me on account of a certain knowledge that I have. Did he not know that Allah had destroyed before him those who were stronger in might than he and were more numerous in multitude? The wicked are not asked about their acts of sin. He replied, All this has been given to me on account of a certain knowledge that I have.
Innama utituha ala ilmin indi has two meanings. First, that he owed all of his attainments to his ability. Nothing of what he had was a bounty which he had undeservedly received as a favor from someone. Hence, he was not bound to give thanks by giving away a part of his wealth to the have-nots who are devoid of merit, or by spending it on charity, so that he might not be deprived of his wealth by God by way of punishment. Second, that God had given him that wealth because he fully knew his abilities. Had he not been a person whom God liked, he would have given him nothing. The fact that God had given him all those things was proof that God liked him and was pleased with his ways.
Did he not know that Allah had destroyed before him those who were stronger in might than he and were more numerous in multitude?
Korah went about proudly claiming to be knowledgeable, wise, and well informed. He also thought very highly of himself. Did he not know that there had been people before him with much more wealth and much greater power, and yet God had destroyed them? If it were only people's abilities, knowledge, power, and skill which brought about their rise and advancement, then how is it that they were severely punished despite those seeming assets and were eventually done away with? If worldly positions were any measure of God's pleasure and approval, then why were those people subjected to such a grievous fate?
The wicked are not asked about their acts of sin.
The wicked have always claimed to be good. They never admit to any evil. Their punishment does not depend on their admission that they were wicked. People are only punished when they confess their sins.
فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِهِ قال الذين يريدون الحياة الدنيا يا ليت لنا مثل ما أوتي قارون إنه لذو حظ عظيم
Once Korah went forth among his people in full glitter, those seeking the life of this world said, Would that we had the like of what Korah has. He truly has a great fortune.
وقال الذين أوتوا العلم ويلكم ثواب الله خير لمن آمن وعمل صالحا ولا يلقاها إلا الصابرون
But those endowed with true knowledge said, Woe to you! The reward of Allah is best for those who believe and act righteously. But none except those who are patient shall attain to this. But none except those who are patient shall attain to this.
This kind of character, this way of thinking, and this reward from God are only for those who steadfastly resist the temptation to use unlawful means to earn their livelihood, regardless of whether they obtain a pittance or make millions. Allah's reward in this verse means that clean and bounteous provision which comes to a man both in this world and in the next as a reward for his efforts. As for the word patience, it means a whole range of things. It means exercising restraint against greed and covetousness. It means strict adherence to honesty and uprightness. It means the readiness to cheerfully endure losses that might accrue from following the dictates of honesty and to forgo the gains that might be obtained by unlawful means. It means contentment with whatever is earned through lawful means, no matter how meager it might be. It means not to be ruffled when one sees the opulence and pomp of those who have amassed their wealth through corrupt ways. It means not being envious of those who are materially better off. It means appreciating that a life of coarse and dreary purity accompanied with God's mercy is better than shimmering slime. The statement that, But none except those who are patient shall attain to this, signifies God's reward. It also signifies that purity of thought by dint of which an upright person is able to remain honest and is even willing to suffer hunger and starvation rather than become a dishonest and corrupt multimillionaire.
فخسفنا به وبداره الأرض فما كان له من فئة ينصرونه من دون الله وما كان من المنتصرين.
At last, we caused the earth to swallow him and his house. Thereafter, there was no group of people that could come to his aid against Allah, nor was he able to come to his own aid.
وَأَصْبَحَ الَّذِينَ تَمَنَّوْا مَكَانَهُ بِالْأَمْسِ يَقُولُونَ وَيْكَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَقْدِرُ لَوْلَا أَمَّنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا لَخَسَفَ بِنَا وَيْكَأَنَّ
And those who had envied his position the day before began to say on the morrow, "Alas, we had forgotten that it is Allah who increases the provision of those of his servants whom he will, and grants in sparing measure to those whom he will. But for Allah's favor upon us, he could have made us to be swallowed too. Alas, we had forgotten that the unbelievers do not prosper." And those who had envied his position the day before began to say on the morrow, "Alas, we had forgotten that it is Allah who increases the provision of those of his servants whom he will, and grants in sparing measure to those whom he will."
The expansion and contraction of a man's provisions is dependent on God's will. God's will, however, is linked to a number of beneficent considerations. When God grants affluence to someone, it does not necessarily mean that he is pleased with that person, or that he has necessarily granted him that affluence by way of reward. At times, God confers an abundance of wealth on those who have aroused his wrath. In such cases, it is precisely because of their wealth that they incur God's punishment. Likewise, if the provisions of some are reduced, it does not necessarily mean that God is angry with them, that he has reduced their provisions in order to punish them. Often, people of very good character are given meager provisions, and this paucity turns out to be the means by which they attain God's mercy. In short, it is actually they who are God's favorites. It is a sheer lack of understanding of this basic reality that often leads people to envy the rich and the affluent. Yet, it is they who have earned God's wrath.
But for Allah's favor upon us, he could have made us to be swallowed too. Alas, we had forgotten that the unbelievers do not prosper.
They mistakenly believed that worldly affluence and riches are identical to the attainment of true success. For this reason, they believed that Korah was immensely successful. Later, however, they came to know what true success was and that it could never be attained by unbelievers. This didactic aspect of Korah's story is mentioned only in the Quran. It is not to be found in the Bible or in the Talmud. However, the story's content, as mentioned in these scriptures, tells us that when the Israelites left Egypt, Korah also left along with his retinue. Furthermore, he conspired against Moses, peace be upon him, and Aaron, peace be upon him, with the active support of 250 others. Eventually, Korah was seized by God's wrath, and he and his family and his wealth were all swallowed up by the earth.